From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. There are few sights more heartwarming for parents than a child concentrating on a good book. Whether it's a toddler with wide-eyed amusement or a preteen with a flashlight reading under the covers past bedtime, a good book can transport children to new and exciting worlds and help teach some important life lessons. In this segment of the program, children's books. We've picked several that stand out. We'll hear from those authors. We've also invited Valerie Lewis to help us figure out what makes for a good kid's book. She runs Hicklebee's, a children's bookstore in San Jose, California. Hello, Valerie.
Well, hello, Michelle. I'm glad to be here.
It seems like there's a bumper crop of interesting books out there. Would you agree?
There's an amazing crop of children's books. As a matter of fact, they've got books right now. You can go into a store, and it could be a children's specialty store or not, but you can look across the gamut of book styles, fiction, nonfiction, books for babies, books for teenagers. There is an incredible variety.
Valerie, we've asked a few children's book writers to read for us and to talk a little bit about their books. We're going to begin in that young adult category with a book called Molly Moon's Incredible Book of Hypnotism. This book has been compared to Harry Potter, but there's one important difference. In this case, the protagonist is a little girl, a very clever little girl. Let's hear from Georgia Bing.
It's a book about a girl who finds a hypnotism book in the library, and she then becomes incredibly powerful. Molly Moon looked down at her pink, blotchy legs. It wasn't the bathwater that was making them mottled like spam. They were always that colour, and so skinny. Molly leaned back until her curly brown hair and her ears were under the water. Someone was hammering downstairs. That was strange. No one ever mended anything in Hardwick House. Then Molly realised that the hammering was someone banging on the bathroom door. Trouble. Molly Moon, open this door at once. Molly could hear keys rattling on a ring. She looked at the level of her bathwater and gasped. It was much too deep. She pulled the plug out and wrapped herself in her towel. Just in time, the door swung open. Miss Addiston was in, and darting to the bathtub, she rolled up her polyester sleeve and pushed the plug back in. As I suspected, your bath is 30 centimetres deep. You know that baths are only supposed to be 10 centimetres deep. So, Molly, you are forbidden to have a bath for the next 3 weeks. And as for a punishment... Miss Addiston picked up Molly's toothbrush. This week you will be toilet monitor. I want the toilet spotless, Molly, and this is the brush you'll be using.
Valerie, it seems that some books are just meant to be read aloud.
I can't imagine any child who is a Harry Potter fan not wanting to pick this one up. This reminds me of very much of the things that the Harry Potter readers are going to want. And here's this child in an orphanage. Here's this look at an adult who seems so unreasonable. And so often, children love reading these books because they find out that they've got this power over the world around them when they read them, which they don't often have in real life or don't often feel they have.
Well, that's one of the curiosities about children's literature. So many of the popular books right now, the Harry Potter series, the Lemony Snicket series, are about children to whom very bad things have happened.
But it's also about surviving. I mean, start at that youngest level. What about Where the Wild Things Are by Maurice Sendak? People think about that being frightening for children when, in fact, children who are frightened often request it because they want that little boy to be in charge of those animals. And it's the same thing at this level.
Now, this is Georgia Bing's first stab at children's literature, and she told us what she thought would make for an interesting children's book. Why don't we listen?
If a character is just irresistible, it doesn't really matter what the book's about because you want to know about that character. But then after that, you just need a story where you want to know what's going to happen. And then you also need a story, I think, where the child has sort of tasks of some sort, has challenges, because, you know, that's exciting in life, to face, you know, the very difficult and to see if you can, you know, get through it. And I think kids like to imagine themselves in those situations.
Well, let's move down the age scale a little bit.
Okay.
From the preteen category to 4 to 9 year olds. Toni Morrison and her son Slade have created a new series of books called Who's Got Game, and the first installment focuses on the ant and the grasshopper. It's sort of a hip-hop rendition of the old Aesop's fable. And let's actually listen to Toni Morrison in her own words.
Foxy G and his ace, Kid A, were hanging in the park. They romped each day till the sun's last ray and didn't stop till dark. They climbed trees, tore up their knees, dunked balls, and shot hoops from afar. Swam in the pool where the water was cool and sang with their air guitars. One hot day, as they lay in the shade, Kid A turned to his friend and said, "Gotta split. The summer's been fun. Time to dump this place. Get back in the race. There's a lot of work to be done." "Hold on. I just thought of a tune. Listen up, kid. This will rocket the moon." Foxy raised his wings and rubbed them hard, making music so deaf it drew a crowd. "That's cool, Foxy G, but listen to me. Vacation's gone. The day's getting short. We can't hang forever on the basketball court." "Then split, Kid A. Who's in your way?" "As for me, Foxy G, I have to let my music out. I have to groove, move, prove, disprove. I have to riff, blast, and shout." "Oh, man, okay. Catch you up some other day."
Toni and Slade Morrison's book poses a question. Who's got game? Who made the right choices? But they don't answer that question. The ending is very ambivalent. The ant doesn't let his old friend in for dinner. He turns him away. And in the last pages, the ant is looking out the window, and he looks sort of forlorn. And the grasshopper is walking out into a snowy night. His wings are broken. His back is hunched. And the reader is left to wonder who made the right choice. This is a very effective tool for an author.
And it's a very effective tool for a parent, to be able to ask questions, to be able, when you read aloud with your children, that's your opportunity to get to know what they're thinking. Sometimes we imagine that we know, and then you'll be reading a story like that and ask what they think the right thing to do would be, or what happened, and your children will surprise you. And it's a great opportunity to be able to talk to them.
It sounds like Toni Morrison understood that. She explains that the ending was ambivalent by design.
Well, I read it, or had a friend whose children are 8 and 6, and the younger one said, "Why is the grasshopper so sad at the end?" And I said, "Well, he was abandoned by his friend, but he's an artist. He's going to create his art." She says, "But his wings are broken." And so she and I had, and it, very interesting conversation, precisely on the point. What's going to happen to him? Well, maybe he can get other wings. Is he really sad? Or as the 6-year-old said, the ant looks sad too when he looks out the window and sees his friend walking away in the snow.
And now for something a little less challenging from Sandra Boynton. It's her new book, and it's called Snuggle Puppy. It's the latest of her board books, which, of course, are those sort of thick cardboard books that are meant for toddlers who tend to gnaw on the edges and perhaps even drool on their books. This is a case where the writer is going to ask the audience to use their imagination.
First, a disclaimer. A book for this age child, which is really 0 to, let's say, 4, depends heavily on its pictures, so it doesn't translate as well as it might. But actually, I can tell you that they're wonderful and witty, and you have no pictures in front of you to dissuade you of that. "Well, I have a thing to tell you, and it won't take long. The way I feel about you is a kind of a song. It starts with an ooh and ends with a kiss, and all along the middle it goes something like this. It goes, 'Ooh, snuggle puppy of mine, everything about you is especially fine. I love what you are. I love what you do. Fuzzy little snuggle puppy, I love you.'"
Many of her books have this sort of cadence to them. I remember reading the many of her books to my children. And even before they were able to talk, their eyes would light up. They really just sort of loved the music in these books. And this is interesting because this book is actually based on a song.
Well, it's interesting when you say that, because when Sandra Boynton just now was talking about the importance of her illustrations, I realize that for her books, her illustrations have great humor and fun. But again, it's that text, that cadence that you're talking about, the thing that makes children listen to I Ride a Cock Horse to Banbury Cross, or James Morrison, Morrison Rutherby George Dupree took great care of his mother, though he was only three. It's those kind of things that have them where they repeat them over and over again. And really good children's books for babies and young children do that.
Boynton said that one of her goals was to try to get the parent and the child to interact. She explained that for us.
A book like this obviously is a lap book, so there's already a connection between the parent and the child. And it's the sound of the words with the experience of looking at the illustrations. My feeling is it's very important for books for young children that they have the beauty of language, that they have the rhythm, and that's actually more interesting for the parent also. So it makes for more engagement, that the parent is as engaged in the book as the child is.
Valerie, you work in a children's bookstore. You are surrounded by magnificent books every day. Are there a few basic ingredients for a good book?
You know, I've thought about that so often, and I feel like what makes a good book? I feel like it's a book that I like, a book that engages me. I can go across the board, and we've got 14 people who work at our store, and we could take those 14 people and have each of them choose three of their favorite books, and they won't all be the same books. They'll be very different. And I think that if you're thinking, oh, it's kind of dumb, or I don't really like it, or but my child probably will, you're wrong. I think if you're going to be reading a book out loud to a child, you need to like it. The great thing parents get to do is they get to teach the love of reading. They don't have to concentrate on teaching reading. Just teach the love of reading, and everything else will happen.
Valerie Lewis, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Valerie Lewis owns Hickleby's Bookstore in San Jose, California. She's also the author of Valerie and Walter's Best Books for Children, a lively, opinionated guide. We also talked with authors Sandra Boynton, Toni Morrison, and Georgia Bing. To hear more from these authors, go to our website, npr.org. There you'll find a recommended reading list for the child in your life. And for the record, my favorite children's book growing up was Curious George. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.